Welcome to episode 79 of Black, White, and Blue in the South, the podcast discussing Democratic politics with a Southern flair. Jamil and I are on a little winter hiatus, but to help you kick off the new year, we've put together this little, or better yet, clips special, giving you a mix of the serious and silly to help pass the time as you take down your holiday decorations, kick Christmas to the curb, and face the prospects of going back to work. As always, we want you to interact with us on social media or drop us an email. Just check out those show notes and visit our Linktree page where you can find links to us on your favorite social media platform. And now, let's travel back in time to the beginning of the year 2025.
From episode 50 on January 15th, 2025. Do I earn a Grammy for that?
If you like what you hear and think others ought to be listening as well, please leave a rating, write just a little review, tell your friends about us, follow us on social media, or better yet, somebody please call South Carolina House Representative John McCravey a whambulance. Because the man hasn't even been in this session for minutes, and he's already complaining and crying about some things. Let's take a listen. You ready for this?
I'm ready.
I don't even know if you've seen this video, but about to hear is South Carolina House Representative Wayne Newton. I think his name's Wayne Newton. No, that's a singer.
Yeah.
It's Wayne somebody.
Okay.
Or Chairman Newton. Maybe I got the Wayne wrong.
But okay.
He's the chairman of the House Judiciary Committee that John McCravey is a part of.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to hear Chairman Wes Newton, I think his name is. You're going to hear him speak. And then you will hear a letter written by John McCravey.
Okay.
Here we go.
Let's go.
Gentlemen, at this point in time, I would like to nominate my friend John McCravey for our second vice chair. John is a senior member of Judiciary Committee, been here for a considerable period of time, a good committee member. I appreciate
Weston
his service.
Newton.
And with that, I would also again move that the nomination be closed and that he be elected by acclamation.
Seeing no objection, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Motion carries.
3 hours later.
Dear Chairman Newton, I am writing to formally announce my resignation from the Judiciary Committee. I am less than enthusiastic about other bills recently emanating from this committee, propounded by special interests and their lobbyists, designed to erode the family. I've come to recognize that my perspective on key issues and values differs significantly from your approach as chairman. The differences have made it increasingly challenging for me to contribute effectively to the committee's mission. While I will sorely miss serving on the Judiciary Committee, I will never trade or compromise my conservative principles and deeply held values for any earthly position. Sincerely, Representative John McCravey.
Wow, what do you think, Jamil?
Two things, and you highlighted the right parts of that letter. First thing is, he says that he has come to know that they disagree. He doesn't support the way the chairman runs. And the chairman starts out by saying, my dear friend. So clearly they didn't have a conversation about this nomination. So maybe somebody's a friend and somebody isn't, because he's been a friend to him before in order for him to refer to him as that. And the second thing is, that last statement where he is talking about he can't sacrifice his principles, good job. Good job for him for saying, I'm going to stand for something. I'm going to stand for something right. But I'm curious to know, why do you back away from opposition? If you felt so strongly in what you're saying, why not stay on that Judiciary Committee to bring to it what you feel it needs? Because clearly you think it's missing something, instead of throwing up your hands and running away from it.
That's exactly the point. These legislators at the state level are assigned to a committee. They don't get to pick and choose. This
Correct.
Isn't something they sign on the dotted line and then go serve and then bow out when they're not interested. You're appointed. That's part of the duty of being a House legislator. And he essentially abandoned his post
mm-hmm.
because he didn't think the Republican chair of this committee was being Republican enough. Now, you heard his statements and his rationale. He doesn't list any specifics. He doesn't say what came out of the committee that he didn't agree with. But what do you think every Democrat who sits on these committees thinks. Mm-hmm. They're there to fight the good fight. Most of the time, with Republicans being a supermajority, things come out of these committees that they don't like. You don't see Democrats going and quitting and taking their toys and going home and crying to mama.
Exactly.
Well, what is this?
Makes no sense. And then what he has to understand is that's the chairman.
Yes.
There's a committee which consists of other individuals. So what is to say that the whole committee is corrupt and doesn't align with his beliefs?
So why did he really leave? Well, he says that he's got principles that he will not abandon for any earthly position.
Not just any kind of principles, Bill. Say the word. He said conservative principles.
Whatever his principles are, right?
Thought, whatever, dude.
But let's look at the facts of this, because he sent out text messages. He posted on Facebook. He revised his story from that letter.
Oh.
So one thing that McCravey didn't bring up is the fact the Judiciary Committee has subcommittees.
Mm-hmm.
And John McCravey was the chair of one of the subcommittees. And this year, chairman, formerly known as Wayne Newton, he kind of cleaned the slate and appointed all new chairpersons.
Okay.
So John McCravey lost his spot.
Okay.
So was John McCravey mad that he lost his subcommittee chair?
Oh.
And who knows?
Yeah.
The other thing is that he sent out in a text message was that somewhere along the way, a Democrat was appointed as a subcommittee chair.
Oh my gosh.
So the rationale among the House leadership was, hey, we want Democrats involved. You know, there's 1,000 positions. We'll throw Democrats like one of them.
Yeah.
Right. But we're going to at least put them in one for appearance sake. And John says there should be no Democrats in any leadership role whatsoever. So he quit the Judiciary Committee.
Wow.
Does he get reassigned somewhere else? We don't know. He's on other committees, you know, as part of the assignments. All these people serve on more than one committee. But the fact that you leave intentionally one of the most powerful and busy committees out there, that says a lot.
Yeah.
And that, to me, it says he's gone off the deep end.
Wow.
Mm. Well, I'll tell you what, let us know what you think by dropping us a note at blackwhiteblueinthesouth@gmail.com.
From episode 51 on January 29th, 2025, they created this cluster muck with guest Michael Layer.
Or better yet, send an IT guy over to the South Carolina State Senate, because that group of dinosaurs is struggling mightily with the advanced technology known as Zoom. This clip is from a Senate Finance Committee hearing where half the members were dialed in remotely. Let's take a listen and hear how they handled it.
All right. Can't hear you. But how about you, Senator Martin? Can you hear us? Can you respond?
I can hear you if you can hear me.
Senator Young, Senator Martin, how about Senator Goldfinch? Can you hear us? Speak to us and let's see if we can hear you.
Senator Hutto, I can hear you.
Senator Goldfinch.
Yes, sir, I got you.
That's what it is. We can't hear the audio.
Your tax dollars at work, ladies and gentlemen.
I don't approve of those cameras being off.
Senator Martin, can you hear us? Can you respond?
Yes, sir, I can hear you.
Senator Aiken. Senator Young, can you hear
you
us?
Me
I can
now?
Hear you, but I don't think you can hear me.
Oh, my God.
This goes on for 3 hours.
Tom, can you hear me?
I can hear all y'all.
Technology, yeah.
I can hear you, Stephen.
Shane, I can hear you. Tom, I can hear you. Brad, I can hear you.
Stand at ease just a minute.
Oh. I guess it would have been too much to say, turn your cameras on, please.
Oh, my God.
Well, let us know if you enjoyed what you just heard. Drop us a note.
From episode 53 on February 26, 2025, Weaponized Ignorance with guest A.J. Davis.
Or better yet.
Oh, my God.
It's like you forget we have this segment every episode.
No, it's
you're caught
every
off guard.
Every time you say it, I get nervous. I'm thinking, what is he going to say this time?
Or better yet. Let's start preparing for the eventual ascendancy to power of Elon Musk's little boy, whose name is X-A-Z-I-I.
My God.
He's got in his name, you know that A that's smushed up against an E that's slanted is like just one character? It's called an Ash, right? That's in this kid's name. X-A-Dash, and it's X little I-I. Anyhow, we're going to call him Little X.
Okay.
Little X stole the show.
Indeed.
At a very bizarre press conference that was recently held at the Oval Office. Let's hear it explained by TikTok sensation Tizzy Ent.
Okay.
You know, I wasn't even going to post on this, and then I saw some clips that changed my mind, and I'll show you those in a moment. But first, Elon Musk yesterday, along with his son Little X, held a press conference in the Oval Office to discuss what Doge is doing, all while Donald Trump watched on silently from his cuck chair. And in the aftermath, one of Elon's fanboys shared this tweet that Elon reposted. It says, "History repeats itself," and it shows two images. The first image is a pretty iconic image of JFK Jr. playing underneath his dad's desk while he worked in the Oval Office. And the second is Little X seemingly bored out of his mind, crawling around on the floor while Donald Trump pontificates about what he liked watching from said cuck chair. But I can point out at least one glaring difference between these two situations. JFK Jr., as I recall, never had criticisms of his father while the press was there. Little X, on the other hand, has a lot to say, and there was a hot mic that caught some of it. So first is this little gem.
To restore democracy. This may seem like, well...
You heard that too, right? You're not the president, you need to go away. I'll play the clip a second time. Just you watch and tell me if that's what he said.
To restore democracy. This may seem like...
That's what he said, but I'll go one better. Because he also said this.
The prices from one year to the next are the same. And they're mortgaged.
That one's clear as day. He says, I want you to shut your mouth up. And there's already people who are like, out of the mouth of babes. But let me just put this out there for your consideration. A child this young doesn't have this profound moment where he like tells off Trump. He just repeats things he's heard. So if he says you're not really the president, chances are someone has said that around him and he's repeating it. When he says, I want you to shut your mouth up, he's either heard someone say that to someone else or someone has said that to him. And he's repeating it. Either scenario is pretty disturbing. But perhaps the question we should be asking is the same one that Shea Jordan Smith asked on Twitter, which is, why the f*** is Elon Musk doing press briefings in the White House from the Oval Office? He is not an elected official. Why is he holding court in the Oval Office? Nothing about this is normal or good.
The last sentence sums it up. Nothing about this.
Nope, not at all. You know, it's really worth watching this video. I understand the audio of the little kid was tough to hear, but you can see the video and you can see him mouthing these words. Mm-hmm. If you want to watch it, check our show notes. We'll have a link to Tizzy Ent's video where you can see it for yourself, or flip on over to our YouTube channel where you can see this whole episode live and just see what a mess Jamil and I are in person.
Yeah.
But in fairness, and I want to follow up with this, because we are a fact-based podcast.
Yeah.
There is a rather convincing argument being made out there that the boy was actually talking to a photographer who was to Trump's left that was out of the camera shot. And somebody who was in that press room reported that an AP photographer had circled around to the other side of Donald Trump where that boy was and was taking pictures. And the boy was talking to the photographer saying, you're not the president, get out of here and shut your mouth, you know, whatever it was he said.
But that doesn't even make sense because there's a whole room of photographers there.
There is, but this one had come close to the desk to get like a special angle while the rest of the photographers were on the other side of the room.
Mm-hmm.
You watch that video again. I can honestly see the boy is kind of looking past Trump. He's not looking directly at him. He's looking past him. I wouldn't have noticed it otherwise.
Okay.
So I do think that there's a case there that maybe this wasn't exactly what was seen. But still, there are so many things wrong about this whole press conference to begin with. And let's not lose sight of the fact that, and I'm going to quote an article from the Straits Times, quote, the preschooler was also seen picking his nose and wiping it on the Resolute desk,
yes,
gifted to President Rutherford Hayes by Queen Victoria in 1880 and used by nearly every president since.
Yes.
There's the respect for the Oval Office that we are all looking for.
Yes, yes, yes. I saw that part.
Let us know what you think by dropping us a note at blackwhiteblueinthesouth@gmail.com.
From episode 55 on March 12th, 2025, Stewed Moose with Carolyn and Philip Dennis.
Or better yet, somebody get South Carolina Senator Tom Fernandez a handler. While most people have a little devil and a little angel on their shoulders,
yeah,
Senator Fernandez has a little devil on one shoulder and that devil's drunken uncle on his other shoulder. Because he has zero filter between what goes on in his brain and what comes out of his mouth. Let's listen to this clip just from this past week that brought the entire South Carolina State Senate to a halt.
What?
And even got national attention.
All right.
So what you're about to hear is a Senate debate about tort reform, a topic we've talked about quite often here.
Yeah.
And they were discussing in their proposal how to assign blame during injury or damages in a lawsuit. That was the topic.
Okay.
But then Tom Fernandez decides to speak, so let's give this a listen.
Oh, my goodness.
Senator from Berkeley, Senator Fernandez, what purpose do you rise, sir?
Wondering if the senator would yield for some questions.
Senator, yield for questions. Senator, yield for questions.
Thank you. I'm going to say the quiet part out loud. Did you know, Senator, that over the last few weeks, I have been approached by people who both support and who are against 184 and 244?
Senator, that doesn't surprise me. I think every senator in this...
Remember what we talked about last episode. You always have to make a statement in the form of a question. It's,
yes,
like Senate Jeopardy.
Yes.
So he's actually making a statement, but, yes, he has to put a, are you aware, in front of it.
So yes, yes.
We are now aware that he has been approached.
We are.
Let's listen further.
Chamber has had that experience over the past few weeks and will continue to do so until this leaves our body.
And did you know, here's the quiet part out loud, did you know that the trial lawyer lobby has offered me campaign fundraisers in the amount of $50,000 to $100,000 per campaign if I voted against this. Did you know that?
I was not aware of that, Senator.
And did you know that?
Senate will suspend.
Oh! Brought it to a halt, and just watch. He's standing there looking confused with the microphone in hand.
We
go in an executive.
Go in.
All the leaders are now congregating back up at the chamber desk.
Let's caution the body. Stand at ease momentarily.
They were so flummoxed, they didn't even have words for what they just heard, basically. And now they're all sitting there chatting amongst themselves. The president, the majority leader, some other leadership of the Senate are now conferring because basically Tom Fernandez just admitted what?
Yes.
He admitted that he was bribed for a vote.
Yes.
Says it right up. And now they're so confused, they don't know what to do.
I'm not speechless often. But you got me with this one.
Oh, yeah. And we've heard some boners he's thrown out there in the past. This one takes the cake. He's becoming my favorite senator up there. Yeah, so now they're standing at ease. We're still watching the video, by the way. All right, they're coming back.
Senate will please come to order.
So what happens now?
Oh, my gosh.
What do you think should happen?
Somebody need to tap
Senate
him.
Senate will please come
he
to order.
He doesn't need to speak.
So now they're, the camera is back on Fernandez, and he's talking.
Senator from York, Senator Johnson, continues to have the floor. Senator from Oree, Senator Rankin, what purpose do you rise, sir?
See if the senator will yield for a couple of compliments, and then perhaps a
so
couple
of questions.
So what
they did is they just went right to somebody else. So they're going to pretend like that never happened and just carry on with business.
But I think that's kind of typical. That's typical. I would expect them to act like, oops, that really didn't happen in real life.
My goodness.
But he is scary.
Yes. Like any sane person would know not to say that
like,
stuff.
Don't
and
say it, that.
And in fact, if he indeed was approached with the offer of a bribe to vote one way or the other, you report it, right?
Why
That's what you're supposed to
why
do.
Why do you wait until you are front and center with everybody watching to ask the question?
Did you know, Senator, that I am a crook?
Yes, I am.
Well, let us know what you think by dropping us a note at blackwhiteblueinthesouth@gmail.com.
From episode 56 on March 26, 2025. Did you know? The Big Bad Budget Boondoggle.
Or better yet, send some thoughts and prayers to Minnesota State Republican lawmaker Justin Eichhorn, who authored a bill to make Trump derangement syndrome an officially listed mental illness. Did you hear about that law?
I did not.
This is in Minnesota. This is what the Republicans are doing. This is how they defined it. According to the Palm Beach Post, Bill SF-2589 in Minnesota describes the so-called Trump derangement syndrome as the acute onset of paranoia in otherwise normal persons that is in reaction to the policies and presidencies of President Donald J. Trump. Symptoms may include Trump-induced general hysteria, which produces an inability to distinguish between legitimate policy differences and signs of psychic pathology in President Donald J. Trump's behavior. They actually wrote this up and submitted it to be passed. So this bill made me curious to learn more about State Senator Justin Eichhorn.
Okay.
So here's a little clip from one of his ad campaigns, and then I want you to keep listening for what comes after his ad. You ready?
Yeah.
Here's Justin Eichhorn's ad campaign.
Okay.
Every Sunday night during session,
look at you roll your eyes.
Kids and make the 3-hour trek to St. Paul to fight for our way of life, because day after day, it is under attack from Metro liberals.
A Minnesota state senator just arrested, accused of soliciting a minor for prostitution. 40-year-old Senator Justin Eichhorn is a Republican representing Grand Rapids. Bloomington police say that detectives posed as a 16-year-old girl and arranged to meet with him in Bloomington.
Run that back. Arrested after arriving. Let me get the part where they was on the dock. Go back.
You want to watch that
yeah,
again?
Yeah, I want
to. All right, so now that you know the spoiler ending, you want to watch this again. All
right. Yeah, I want you to take me right to the part where he was on
gonna
the dock.
We're going to be here recording for 3 hours anyway, okay. So we can watch all these videos as many times as you want. I ain't going nowhere. Here we go.
Every Sunday night during session,
Sunday night,
I say goodbye to my wife and kids.
Wife and kids.
A 3-hour trek to St. Paul to fight for our way of life.
Our way of life.
Day after day, it is under attack from Metro liberals.
Apparently, the Metro liberals won't let him sleep with a 16-year-old girl. Darn Metro liberals. How dare they?
You hit all the buzzwords, and then the next thing is you had to assume the position. Well, damn.
Boy, according to Newsweek, Eichhorn has taken a conservative stand against young children learning about gender diversity and sexual orientations. Following his arrest, he has not received any support from the Republican caucus within the Minnesota State Senate, who said they were shocked by these reports and demanded his immediate resignation, which he did give. But you know what? It'd be really nice if the South Carolina Republicans would have taken such a stance against one of their own,
yeah,
who is under federal investigation for possessing child pornography.
Yeah.
Mm. Well, let us know what you think by dropping us a note at blackwhiteblueinthesouth@gmail.com.
From episode 58 on April 11th, 2025. Never correct an enemy making mistakes. With Representative Heather Bauer.
Or better yet,
oh my goodness,
somebody from Newberry, please come and get your House Representative Joe White from the State House here in Columbia. Jamil, you remember Joe White from our last episode?
Yes.
When he got up and sang that TV commercial from 70 years ago?
Yes.
For those that missed it, here it is.
Oh my God.
Brush ya, brush ya, brush ya, get the new iPana, brush ya, brush ya, brush ya, iPana for your teeth.
Jesus.
All right, so we need to come get this guy. Well, he recently stood up in front of 100-plus House members and made the following announcement.
Representative Joe White's recognized for the next question.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Representative Jones, I admit many times when I stand up, I get confused as I hear the debates.
That's all you need to know.
That's an internal thought. We got to keep working with people. internal.
Poor guy. He's not just confused on that particular debate. He's confused on many debates. So please come get him. He's obviously lost and confused in Colombia and needs to come home.
Aww.
So he can live out the rest of his life watching 1950s TV commercials.
God damn.
Here's the new iPad with the brand new flavor. It's dandy for your teeth.
Let us know what you think by dropping us a note at blackwhiteblueinthesouth@gmail.com.
From episode 60 on May 7th, 2025, I Have Uranium Already with Kyle Freeman and Sylvia Wright.
Or better yet, stock our public schools with Narcan. You know what Narcan is?
Yes.
Narcan is...
It is supposed to help, I don't want to say revive you, but revive you if you OD.
It's a nasal spray specifically for opioids, including heroin, fentanyl, oxycodone, hydrocodone. They put this Narcan in places where people could be overdosed, and it can save them instantly. It could save a life.
Yes.
We need to stock our schools with Narcan.
Why do you say?
Well, why am I suggesting? Because the Director of Health and Human Services for our nation, Robert F. Kennedy, said the following. You ready for this?
Yeah.
When I was at the bottom of my class, I started doing heroin. I went to the top of my class. Suddenly, I could sit still, and I could read.
So we know RFK Jr. is not going to listen to anybody but himself. So since heroin helped him get to the top of his class, I could expect heroin to be at all of our public schools within the next year or two.
Did he say,
mark my words,
suddenly I could read?
Yes. Yeah, he wasn't able to read before heroin.
Oh my gosh.
So the pro-heroin front, and you can believe all the MAGA supporters are going to be right there alongside of them. Yay, heroin. So get the Narcan out to our schools right away.
God.
Let us know what you think. Good God, what could you possibly think about that? Let us know what you think by dropping us a note at blackwhiteblueinthesouth@gmail.com.
From episode 61 on May 21st, 2025, Grover on a Cross with Cynthia Halpin Brown.
Or better yet, please provide some dating advice for single adults who are trying to navigate this world in today's very divisive political climate. You see, you can't just hop into a first date with somebody without knowing a little bit about them and their core beliefs, right?
Yeah, add that question.
So thankfully, a TikToker named Ms. Curly McCat Lady, that is her name, she provided this useful guide of questions to ask while on that first date to tease out the political beliefs of your potential partner for life.
Let's see.
Let's hear what Ms. Curly McCat Lady has to say.
Thanks for coming to get me. I was wondering, I need to pick up a couple things. I was wondering where you think I should pick them up from. Target or Costco?
Sorry to pause right here just to explain what we're hearing and seeing. So it shows this woman entering into the passenger seat of a car, and as she's getting in, she asks the question, but at the end of the question, are we shopping at Target or Costco? She looks right into the camera.
You got to give them the look.
Right at the driver.
Uh-huh.
What's that answer going to be? So let's hear what other scenarios.
Okay.
Whoa, that food from that restaurant was really good. Expensive, though. Probably because of the tariffs. Okay, I'm ready. You mind if I put on a little music? Okay, great.
It's the face that she makes when she looks right at the camera.
Definitely.
Here comes another one.
Whoa, it's a little chilly in here. Don't you think it's a little bit chilly? Whew. I'm going to put on my scarf.
She just put on a red and white Palestinian keffiyeh, right? Just to see what the dating partner is going to say. Oh, that face. I love that face.
I love it.
Oh, it was so nice to run into my friend. I haven't seen her in a while since she moved out somewhere by the Gulf of Mexico.
Yep.
Oh, thanks for picking me up. I really got to get myself a new car. I was thinking about getting a Tesla.
Curly McCat lady, hats off to you. That
I'm
is exactly.
Her. I will be following her.
That is exactly what we need. Let us know what you think and what questions you would add to Ms. McCat Lady's list of dating questions by dropping us a note at blackwhiteblueinthesouth@gmail.com.
From episode 62 on June 4th, 2025, I'm sorry, Lintheads with Trey Ward.
Or better yet, let's make this song rise to number one in the bluegrass charts. Another day to the mill out. So you might be wondering, why am I playing this song? Well, I'll tell you what, this is in honor of our guest today.
I thought so.
Yes, and we're going to come back to this in a few minutes, but whatever this song is, we're going to talk about it in depth, and we need to make it rise in the charts.
Wow.
Just to let you know, Trey, I spent a dollar to get that song legally.
Oh, sorry.
I didn't go online. I didn't download it from a pirated site.
Thank you.
And so that dollar is going to go right to your banks.
Thank
after
you so
it's
much.
Split with Bandcamp and split with your band members.
Thank you.
So, you know, now Christmas is going to be rich for your
Wait,
family.
Wait, how many band members are there?
Well, there's not a band anymore.
Oh, so you get to keep it
you
all.
Keep it all.
And some years ago.
Wonderful. Well, we'll share with you why we want this song to be number one in a little while. Okay. But in the meantime, let us know what you think about bluegrass music by dropping us a note at blackwhiteblueinthesouth@gmail.com.
From episode 63 on June 18th, 2025, bring me my angry wig.
Or better yet, send South Carolina Republican House Representative and founder of the South Carolina House Freedom Caucus, R.J. May, a gift basket of shower soap with those little handles on them that can tie around the wrist, you know, to prevent it from being dropped while you're in the shower. Because where he's going, that'll come in handy. I bet you didn't see that coming.
I did not.
Here with some breaking news is WCNC. Hmm.
506 right now, we are working to find out why police arrested a South Carolina state representative. Officers arrested R.J. May yesterday in Lexington County, but they didn't release what charges he's facing. There's also no record of any indictments or warrants. May has represented House District 88 in Lexington County since 2021. He was just reelected last year.
All right, well, I have a problem with them. They claim like they have no idea who R.J. May is, why he might have been arrested.
That is exactly why I jumped and looked at the screen like, girl, stop lying.
Exactly.
Everybody knew this back, 2024, when all of this started hitting the fan, because
yes,
that's when they came in.
A year ago, over a year ago.
And everybody on that team has looked straight like nothing was wrong.
Okay, so then I tuned into News 19 WLTX.
Okay.
Surely they did some research on R.J. May.
We are starting this Wednesday with breaking news updates. That's because we learned moments ago that South Carolina State Representative R.J. May has been arrested and booked over at the Lexington County Jail. At this time, though, we do not know why he was brought there or what charges he might be facing. May has represented House District 88 in Lexington County since 2021. He was just reelected back in November of last year after facing no opposition in the primary or general election. He's also, though, a founding member of the South Carolina Freedom Caucus and at one time served as its vice chair. News 19 also reaching out to both the U.S. Attorney's Office and the South Carolina Law Enforcement Division. And right now, neither of one sharing a comment. There is also no record of any indictments or warrants at this particular time. Of course, we'll continue following this developing story and share the very latest updates both on air and online at WLTX.com.
Why do we keep doing it?
I don't know what gives, Jamil. I mean, you and I reported on this. Why was he being investigated by federal agencies last year? Why?
Yes, because it was child pornography.
Yes.
They came in to his home, took all of his electronic devices.
Exactly.
This stuff was public knowledge. So how is it that the news outlets don't know?
That's just terrible. That is terrible reporting.
Baffling to me.
We've been talking about R.J. May for months since this first broke.
Yeah.
So I went to the print magazines, the print papers, South Carolina Daily Gazette.
Okay.
They published an article, and they wrote that a state legislator and founding member of the ultra-conservative House Freedom Caucus was booked in a Lexington County jail on Wednesday, according to online jail records. So we're all in alignment there.
Mm-hmm.
No charges were listed yet. Okay, we're in alignment there. But he was being held pre-trial for the U.S. Marshals Service.
Here we go.
That's an important fact, right?
It is.
Suggesting potential federal charges.
Hmm.
And then they write, federal investigators seized electronic devices from May last August, right? So almost a year ago.
Okay.
And a federal court filing in October provided the first public confirmation that May's electronics were seized, although it didn't specify where. But here's the list of items that were taken. So okay. Get this. I'm an electronics guy.
Okay.
I don't have anywhere near this amount of crap in my house. And
I think
live
we talked
in IT.
About this. Go, yeah. go.
A Lenovo laptop. Check. Okay. An Amazon tablet. Check. 4 cell phones. How many cell phones you got?
I got one.
My wife has 2. One of them's from work, and then another's her personal one. But okay. They confiscated. He had 4. He had a whole belt of phones around his waist.
Wow.
4 hard drives. 4 SD cards, 2 DVDRs, and 19 thumb drives. 19 thumb drives.
What is he storing on those?
19. I've got 2 thumb drives that I use from time to time.
I think I found one the other
day. Right. 19. He's got a whole bag full. Anyhow, they grabbed all of that. And that was the South Carolina Daily Gazette. Good for them in doing the research and putting everything in context. And then, just breaking this afternoon, the state and other outlets have reported some details as charges on, as we record today, it is Thursday,
okay.
Charges have been officially filed.
Okay.
He was denied bond.
As he should be.
Wow. Denied bond after an indictment was unsealed, charging him with 10 felony counts of distributing child sexual abuse material via the internet. They go on to say that May 38, a married father of 2 young children.
My gosh.
My heart just breaks for them.
My gosh.
They're not the victims. They are still the victims.
Wow.
Right? When their dad is undergoing this. Was arraigned Thursday morning before U.S. Magistrate Judge Shiva Hodges at a federal courthouse in Columbia. He pleaded not guilty to the charges. He actually came up with some sort of rational defense, at least his lawyer did, that somebody broke into his Wi-Fi and did all that transmitting and it wasn't him. But if you read the records here of the evidence they have, they've got him in 1 second looking up something on the state government website, and then in the next second transmitting something through an app called Kick. It's all from the same phone, same time, same geolocation. There was nobody busting into his Wi-Fi. That's the weakest argument ever. That's just not going to fly. And hence he was denied bond. But get this. May, who was the driving force behind the creation of the hardline conservative SC House Freedom Caucus, had a username.
Yeah.
Joe Biden.
I was waiting on
NNN69.
Yeah.
That was the
name
that he chose for transmitting this stuff. And you talk about derangement syndrome.
That's how low an individual can go.
Oh.
Pure deceitful.
So he distributed at least 10 videos of child sexual abuse. And I read the state article. They go into some graphic detail of what was found in those videos. And I don't even want to repeat it here in the air because it just makes me sick to my stomach.
Well, you know, I listened to my governor to be
Dr. Jermaine Johnson.
Yeah, shout out to him. Can't wait to call him governor. He did a live, and you can see the passion and the pain in him as he tries to go through this. And one of the statements that he said was, do not read that indictment if you have suffered any type of trauma, because it would be gut-wrenching. And so, and I'm thinking, like, what did this monster do? That is the lowest of the low. And then this is the group that stands behind Christianity. And this is what frustrates so many people. You have a individual like this that is promoting Christianity as the only way, the right way, and you have to have the wife and the 2 children, and the wife, or the wife and the children, and or the wife and the husband. There's a certain way you must be, and it must align with their way of thought. And this
he
is what you have.
He was on the front line of banning books in the schools. He was on the front line of banning gay marriage and being transphobic. He was on the front line of all of that. And this is why whenever I hear somebody talk that way, I'm just wondering what's in their closet.
That's it.
Remember that senator from Minnesota, Justin Eichhorn. I was watching our clip
Yes.
where he had that whole video about how he's fighting for family values and
he was under attack by Metro liberals, and he was there to defend the family conservative way. And then in the next clip, he was arrested for soliciting child prostitutes.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
That's the pattern we see over and over. And you know what? I actually almost feel sorry for those that have their views and are actually living good lives, because I can't trust it.
Yeah.
I can't trust any of that.
Yeah.
So the legal filing also accuses May of distributing 220 different videos about 470 times over a 5-day period. That is some furious sharing that this guy was doing.
Did you work any during the day?
Yeah.
You couldn't have.
In fact, I shared a video of RJ May in a committee meeting after all this had broken a couple months back. And he's there on his phone just tapping away, swiping left, swiping right, you know, while the committee hearing was happening. This guy had an addiction. And I know we like to dance on his grave, so to speak, because it brought down a vile member of the legislature. But behind everything he did were so many child victims. And I don't want to lose sight of that. For every one of those 479 incidents that he shared was a child whose life was ruined because there were people like him out there who revel in it. So I don't want to lose sight of that. Anyhow, I'm glad we've been tracking this for months. I hope this does bring an end to things, and we'll see where this trial goes. We'll keep you up to date as more about RJ May. But what that does leave at the moment is an open seat in the middle of a session. So there will be a special election, which has yet to be called. He has not resigned from his office yet, but that's going to be forthcoming.
Yeah.
The governor will kick him out because I think there is a rule that says if you're under federal indictment, you lose your seat.
I think they've already spoken. Like, I think the House has already...
The only thing I've seen so far was that the House Freedom Caucus has kicked them out.
Oh, I thought...
But the House hasn't yet.
Okay.
Because I think they were waiting for the charges to be unveiled, which they were just a few hours before us recording.
Okay.
Anyhow. Let us know what you think by dropping us a note at blackwhiteblueinthesouth@gmail.com.
From episode 64 on July 2nd, 2025, Prothonotary Warbler and Other Shocking Scandals with Francie Cleckley.
Or, better yet,
oh gosh,
send President Trump a belated Father's Day card, because as we just learned last week, Donald J. Trump is your daddy. And from now on, we will refer to him as Daddy Trump. You know you want to. Do you know what I'm even talking about?
We about to hit that curse word quota.
Not in the first few minutes, surely.
Do you even know what I'm referring to?
Is this
news?
No.
Okay, wow. This is all over the media right now. So last week, there was a huge NATO summit, and the NATO Secretary General referred to Trump as Daddy. You want to watch?
Click play.
Here we go.
Oh, my God.
You have to see it to believe it.
I don't believe.
They're not going to be fighting each other. They've had it. They've had a big fight, like two kids in a schoolyard. You know, they fight like hell. You can't stop them. Let them fight for about 2-3 minutes. Then it's easy to stop them.
And then Daddy has to sometimes use strong language to get stopped.
You have to use strong language. Every once in a while, you have to use a certain word.
Did you hear him say that? Did
Who's
you hear him say
dad?
Daddy has to
he said
use strong
that.
Language?
He said that.
Mm-mm-mm. Well, it doesn't stop there after NATO Chief Mark Rutte, I think is his name, after Mark Rutte called him Daddy, it went wild out in the social media universe. And I want to share with you a video from TikToker Branson Gates.
Okay.
Branson Gates is becoming quickly one of my favorite creators on that platform. And he is a rather flamboyant young man who lip syncs everything Trump says. And you would almost think Trump was flaming himself. It fits so perfectly into that persona. So in this clip, a reporter asks Trump about being called Daddy, and then Trump has a lengthy response. And Branson does the lip sync, which is perfect. Now, for those of you who are listening, you're going to have to imagine a young, fine-looking gentleman rolling his eyes and waving his hands as he's doing the Trump lip sync. But flip over to YouTube and watch the video that you'll see in the show notes. You'll want to see this gentleman. He is a genius.
Okay. Mark Rutte, the NATO chief, who is your friend, he called you Daddy earlier. Do you regard your NATO allies as kind of children?
No, he likes me. I think he likes me. If he doesn't, I'll let you know. I'll come back and I'll hit him hard, okay? No?
Do you
he did. He did it very affectionately. Daddy, you're my daddy.
So you go follow this young man because he's got video after video after video, and it actually makes you somewhat warm up to Trump.
Oh,
it really does.
I like it.
But it doesn't stop there. From the Independent comes a story out of Michigan, where state Senate was talking, and they were doing a debate, and Republican State Senator Jonathan Lindsay made a suggestion that from that point forward, all of the language concerning Trump should refer to him as Daddy Trump. All right. But it's not that statement that I'm playing this for, although I will play that clip. It's the response to that, which was golden, because fellow Senator Jeremy Allen Ross, who happens to be the first openly LGBT member of the Michigan State Senate, had the perfect response to what that other guy had to say. So let's watch that.
A lot of people in America have come to think of President Trump as a sort of father figure. And indeed, this morning, we even saw the leadership of NATO refer to him as daddy. So maybe in these resolutions going forward, we could have a little bit of recognition of like Daddy Trump is who we're going to oppose or something like that. Get creative with it. But in the meantime, please vote no on these resolutions.
You don't want to know what daddy means in my community.
Come with it. Come with it. Come with it. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
So there we are.
It's the only thing I could get from it.
Let us know what you think about Daddy Trump by dropping us a note at blackwhiteblueinthesouth@gmail.com. And that's a wrap for this episode of Black, White, and Blue in the South. We hope you enjoyed what you heard today. Please take a quick minute and leave us a rating and review of this show. We really want to know what you think. If you do, we might just have another best of episode for you before Jamil and I return for season 4 of Black, White, and Blue in the South. If you are a blue dot in a red sea, keep the faith. Keep up the hard work. Change only happens over many years of work and dedication. As Benjamin Franklin once said, be at war with your vices, at peace with your neighbors, and let every new year find you a better man.
The end.
The preceding podcast is solely owned by the host or hosts and is distributed by Big Media LLC. Copyright 2026.